You're listening to the What Do You Actually Do podcast. Each week, we want to bring you an inspiring interview, a useful tip, or encouraging message to help you find your place in the professional world. Hello and welcome to this episode of What Do You Actually Do. My name's Kate Morris and I'll be your host today. In today's special episode, we'll be talking about graduating in a very difficult time. Today we're joined via Skype by Tom Banham, who's Director of the Careers and Placements team at the University of York. So Tom, what do you actually do if you're graduating in a global health pandemic?
Firstly, thanks Kate for the invite and allowing me to be involved in this podcast. Good question. It's a challenging time for everyone, situation before in the modern age. So it's very challenging. Clearly, we had the SARS outbreak in 2003, which was predominantly confined to Asian countries. And we've actually seen countries like South Korea deal very well with the COVID-19 pandemic. And a large aspect of their policy was around test, track and trace, which is now seems to be the UK policy. But European countries and the US in the main have really struggled with how to cope with this. And obviously, we've seen significant economic downturns and really challenging health aspects as well. I think if we reflect back to in terms of the jobs market, the last recession was in 2008. And what we saw was a number of businesses reacting in a way that reduced the amount of vacancies available quite quickly, but actually it played out in a way that wasn't as severe as a lot of the economists first thought. And at the moment, I suppose it changes on a daily basis in terms of what the future analysis looks like. At the start of this process, it was looking like a V-curve recession, so a very sharp dip and then quickly out. And now experts are expecting more of a U-shaped recession with a bit more normality in 2 to 3 years' time. So it is a challenge for everyone. And I think just to keep in mind from a student perspective is employers recruit for two reasons, to fill jobs now, but also to fill jobs for longer term. And with the skills and experience students have with a degree, most will be looking at the longer term opportunities. So just to keep that in mind, the graduate degree is a significant thing that students need to really be holding on to at this point in time, and will really help access jobs for the future.
I guess that's the thing, isn't it? This won't last forever. And whereas their degree, that they've got that, no one can take it away from them. So that is something that will last forever.
Absolutely. I mean, the pandemic is finite. I suppose it depends on how long we're in lockdown at the moment and what the exit strategy of the government looks like and the impact on social distancing and how that plays out, where 2008 recession was predominantly through the banking crisis. So that, you know, it depends on the external factors that are influencing that recession.
Yeah. So your role involves communicating with graduate recruiters around the country and accessing the latest research from organisations like the Institute of Student Employers. What's the latest news from graduate employers?
As you can imagine, it's a challenge for majority of employers. And there is a difference between ISE members. So ISE members tend to be the larger corporate employers that take on hundreds, if not thousands, of graduates and students. And then obviously linking that and comparing to smaller businesses who are probably more challenged. So overall hiring is down, as you'd expect. But recruitment certainly hasn't ceased, but we're seeing more of an impact on student opportunities. So where I mean student opportunities, that primarily is internships over the summer, where some employers have created virtual opportunities now or virtual learning programs or placement year opportunities, which seem to have been moved and delayed from the summer to the autumn. So I think there's a real divide in terms of the size and scale of the employer, but also the sector that they operate in as well. There isn't conclusive evidence on this, but we're seeing different regional impacts as well, where certain regions are heavily focused on travel, tourism, retail, obviously are more impacted than other regions such as London, for instance. recruiters are still holding offers, but at the same time, we're not 100% clear if they will be fulfilled. And I'm on a call every other week with the ISC and other universities and employers, trying to understand how the market is reacting. And if I'm honest, it changes all the time. I think there are too many unknowns at the moment. And what I say now may actually change from the time a student actually comes to listen to this podcast. But I think that the thing to really say is that some sectors are still strong and are recruiting in large numbers, and in certain instances are increasing their recruitment capacity. So the health services, for instance, still have a significant undersupply of doctors, nurses, and other subsidiary health professionals as well. Number of frontline services like Frontline, Police Now, Teach First, Think Ahead and Unlocked. I mean, those are five large public-facing organisations that are recruiting up to 3,500 graduates from next year. So the market in certain areas is buoyant and will continue to be buoyant. Clearly, there are challenges in other sectors like hospitality, leisure, manufacturing, transport, given the stay-at-home policy at the moment, and clearly retail. So it really depends on the sectors and industries that graduates are particularly interested in. And what we are envisaging is demand, or increased demand for postgraduate courses, for students to build greater depth to their learning. So when we come out of this recession, they have obviously more capabilities in terms of their learning abilities on top of the undergraduate degree that they may have fulfilled. And we may see government support in this respect as well.
Oh, really? You're starting to get kind of ideas or murmurings around that?
In terms of the government funding,
yeah,
for P, it's just discussions at the moment. Nothing official from the government, but clearly the class of 2020 going into the employment market are going to be challenged. That's obvious, and I think the government will look at every way possible to mitigate that issue and challenge. There were a number of initiatives in place to help students access the recruitment market in 2008, some of which were around professional programmes as well. So I envisage something coming out. But again, until we know the exit strategy, once we know the economy is going back to a more settled state, it's difficult to assume anything. But we are on top of it. We are looking and working with government and organisations like the ISC to understand what the changing picture, and we'll be able to update students when we have the official information.
I think, so it sounds like a very, very mixed picture that's changing all the time. But I think a positive is that employers are not just saying, oh, forget about it, this is not a priority for us. They're finding alternatives to those internships, alternatives to placement years starting in summer. And that suggests that they do want to keep students and graduates warm. They don't want to cut them off. They sort of appreciate these are our colleagues of the future, and we're keen for them to work with us. So I guess they want to kind of give the best impression and support them and offer them as much opportunity as they can at this stage.
Yeah, it's a really good point. The larger employers that obviously ISC represent, again, as mentioned, they have formalised graduate programmes that last anything from 18 months to 3 years, dependent on professional qualifications as part of that programme. And they fundamentally recruit for the future. They don't recruit for the here and now. And those are the types of organisations where, if offers have been made, are sticking and honouring them, or are potentially in certain instances delaying the start date until later in the autumn, or in some instances are deferring until the next year and are offering some funding for students to do supplementary professional courses. So different employers are doing different things. I think, again, coming back to the difference between larger and smaller employers, the challenge at the moment is where is their next income? And that will be the challenge for those smaller employers who can't necessarily support graduates for the longer term at this stage. And for those organisations, you know, many of their staff will be currently furloughed. So bringing in a graduate wouldn't be the top of their list. But, you know, to emphasise the value of a degree, young workers entering the job market will be challenged, but those who are less educated will be challenged even further. And students graduating from York and other universities really need to take that to heart, because that is really, really powerful.
Yeah, I agree. So we hear the phrase, these are unprecedented times, a lot in the media. And of course, in many ways, that is true. But experience of graduating into a national or global recession is something both you and I share. How did you cope with it?
Reflecting back on 2008, I graduated 06 and moved to London in 07. So I had about 18 months worth of experience before the recession properly kicked in. So didn't necessarily just graduate into it. But it was a challenge. I was lucky to secure a role in a graduate scheme in London. And I was actually not necessarily made redundant from the organisation, but my role at that time within HR, internal recruitment, was taken away, removed, because the organisation wasn't recruiting, and I was moved into another part of the business, which I really, really didn't want to be in, and it definitely wasn't my long-term career aspirations, and it was challenging, and I really had to understand my strengths and play to them. And I think, you know, at this time, it's really important to reinvent yourself, you know, to ensure the skills that you offer are highly valued and sought after. But until you really reflect on and know more about yourself, that self-discovery piece is critically important at times like this, and really enhancing and playing to those strengths will be where graduates will secure the best opportunities. It was unpleasant at the time, but new opportunities were created, and I really didn't envisage at that time I'd be heading up a career service within a really top university. So that this is now my passion, supporting and helping students make the most of their time at York, but also the best of opportunities when they leave, whether that be in further education or into employment. And ultimately, you're going to have multiple jobs over your career. The days of employed by a single employer in a single role are gone. There'll be much more flexibility in terms of careers. And coming out of the pandemic, I'd like to think that the new ways of working will continue in some aspects. So our service, for instance, is no longer on campus. It's fully virtual. You know, I would hope to maintain some of those flexibilities for staff who want and need that. It will create much more access to opportunities where mobility was a blocker before. Hopefully we won't see that moving forward. And I think my other, I suppose, advice to students is don't necessarily be fixated by the job. I think any role or opportunity, as long as it aligns to your core values and the way the culture and the organisation works and operates, I think just be more open-minded, because there will be sectors and opportunities that will come out of this quite well. And if you're fixated on a particular sector or organisation that is not going to do well out of it, then you're going to be really challenged. So open mind, flexibility is critically important, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's a model of kind of career theory called planned happenstance. And it's the idea that you kind of, even if you don't know what you want to do, you start to gather experiences, you put yourself in situations where it's things that you find interesting, where you're learning things, you're moving in the right direction, so that when the right opportunity does present itself, you're in the best possible position to take it. You know, I graduated in 2000 and there was another recession then. They happen every few years, don't they? And, you know, for me, I wasn't too sure what I wanted to do. I was exploring teaching. I was exploring working for charities. I gained quite a lot of temp work. I built up so many different skills and really had that opportunity to learn what I did and didn't like. And it, like you, where my strengths were, where my interests really lay, so that when I did actually finally see the job that I wanted, which was to train to be a careers consultant, which I didn't realise that's what I wanted when I graduated from university, because of these random experiences I'd collected together, even though I didn't have direct experience of the thing itself, I was able to get that job. And it was a, like yours, it was a graduate scheme, so I was training, getting the right qualifications as well as experience as well. And I think if I hadn't have had that time to just try out different stuff, have time to reflect on what I did and didn't want, I wouldn't have kind of done so well at the job and enjoyed the job and obviously continued doing the job for, you know, I've been doing it 18 years now. So I think this is just a small amount of time in the context of your life, and you can really gain so much benefit from having the chance to press pause and think about what you really want. And as you say, have that experience of having some setbacks, of it not all going completely smoothly, and how you step up to that challenge.
Yeah, no, I completely get it. The best learnings I've had over my career have been where I've either things haven't gone to plan, or there's been an element of failure in there. And you know, I don't come from a careers background like yourself, Kate. My background is HR and recruitment, so a very different perspective in terms of career support and education in its broadest sense. So the experiences I've had working in for commercial organisations and recruiting graduates has translated over to managing a career service. So, you know, again, fixating on a single pathway it is definitely something that I would encourage students not to go down.
Yeah. So for students about to graduate and others who were hoping to do an internship this summer, what can they do during this time to develop their employability?
Yeah, good question. I suppose before, just to kind of start with, before the pandemic, there was a significant undersupply in certain graduate opportunities and roles. So that will still hold true when we come out of this pandemic. So, you know, if you have tech-based skills, you know, communications and marketing will look very different to what we know now, particularly consumer marketing. I've certainly seen a significant trend with all the organisations I follow on Twitter, and a lot more empathy within the communications that is coming out. So a different perspective on that type of industry. IT, engineering, and I've already mentioned healthcare especially. So coming into this, there were not enough graduates to go around for those jobs, and I think that will still hold true. So it's just to have that in mind as well. And when we go back into what will be the new normal, you know, that there'll be much greater emphasis on the virtual environment and how we communicate and engage with customers, suppliers, and also students and graduates will be critically important. If you're a graduate who hasn't secured, or a student who hasn't secured internships, there's so much you can do over the summer. You know, looking to build a portfolio of activities, I think, would be the thing that I would really recommend. So volunteering within local community, or volunteering within York if you're still on campus, you know, and that can range from supporting healthcare, even supermarkets, or even delivery. I've been part of the NHS volunteering scheme. At York, we're looking at introducing virtual-based volunteering programs and ways for students to help the local community as well deal with the COVID outbreak. So lots of opportunities there to build your employability skills, and when we come out of this, employers will be looking to see how students reacted to this pandemic, and if you're one of those that have you know, supported, you know, the public good element but also built those skills, I think that would look really, really strong on a CV and application. There'll be lots of short-term flexible work contracts that will appear to take advantage of. And it goes back to your point of those varied experiences will really help. And I suppose start to research, work, and learning new skills that will be beneficial for the future, I think is really important. Lots of organisations have recently created a number of learning materials that are available centrally and as a service. We signpost to those different platforms where we feel that the learning will be really important for our students. And clearly we have a number of great resources within our service as well. So taking the opportunity of those, I think, will be really important. And employers will really value students who are able to demonstrate, you know, resilience and flexibility coming out of this period of time. And, you know, I think what we'll see, or we are seeing actually, is employers using different forms of technology to manage their online programs now in terms of assessment. So whereas you know, certain aspects of the recruitment process would be online and then there'd be a physical face-to-face interview or assessment centre, these assessments are now being done through Zoom, and the Career Service at York will be running events for students to practice those types of assessment centres and scenarios, and signing up to take part in those will be really, really important, because it will feel different, it will feel odd, but if you can do it in a safe environment managed by our team, it will put you in a much better position when you're in a live environment with one of the employers that you're looking to secure a role with. So I think there's definitely lots for students to be getting on with over this period of time.
So it's a case of kind of think about what you want to do as an individual. As you've mentioned earlier, a lot of employers are creating their own virtual internships or resources. So students who just will have details of some of them, but students can obviously also look directly on different employer websites to see what information they've got. Our virtual internships are advertised on our website and on the Careers Gateway. We'll put details of that at the end of the episode. And as you say, the volunteering opportunities, whether the people are finding that themselves or via our website or through friends or family, it doesn't have to be a formal organised scheme. It still counts. And I think whatever you're doing, it's just making sure update it on your CV, write it down somewhere so you don't forget what the experience was like, what skills you developed. And don't think it has to be a cynical thing where, oh, I'm just doing volunteering so it looks good on my CV. The looking good on the CV is a perfectly legitimate byproduct. It doesn't mean that's your motivation and that you don't genuinely care about people and want to help them. But I think, as you said, Tom, it's about providing evidence of your skill set and kind of how you've used this time. So it's a win-win, really.
Yeah, completely agree.
Okay, so kind of on that, it's interesting how this kind of terrible situation really disrupts our everyday life, and it puts a different perspective on things. And I think many people have felt a sense of clarity about what's important to them in life. How can students use this self-awareness and translate their values into job ideas?
Yeah, well, we mentioned this earlier on in the pod. You know, I think students really understanding their strengths and development areas is really, really critically important to that self-discovery piece. Until students are more self-aware of what they're good at, but also where those strengths can translate to opportunities that they want to access, I think it's going to be more of a challenge. So we have our flagship York Strengths programme, which clearly we're not able to run over the summer in terms of the physical days, but we're translating that into an online product, which will be something that I'd really recommend students go on and access. It's open to all students as well, and that will really just help that initial insight into kind of strength areas and development areas and really help focus that self-awareness into potential job ideas. I mean, it's going to be really interesting coming out of once we're out of the pandemic and the really severe aspects of it. I really think there'll be a focus on public good and an increased appreciation for roles classed as key workers. And you know, if you follow the media, certain business practices over this period will either heighten or lower student demand. So, you know, the work of AstraZeneca working with University of Oxford on a vaccine, You have Team Ineos, boat racing team, building or creating face masks. You know, you have multiple engineering organisations like Dyson building ventilators. You know, the national effort against COVID-19 has been fantastic to see, you know, organisations stepping up. And there'll be certain business responses that won't go down well either. You know, from a morality perspective of certain large organisations applying for furlough schemes where they can probably afford to pay for their staff not to, you know, use public funded money. So it's going to be really interesting. But I think, you know, until you understand your own strength yourself and better understanding of how they can translate into job opportunities, I think then it's thinking about, okay, what you know, over this period of time, my reflections on my values and how do I either want to give back to society, and whether that be you know, focusing your career opportunities down the line, going into a public serving role, or whether there are certain values that you're wanting a certain employer to have displayed over this period as well. So it'll be really interesting to see how all that plays out. But traditionally, students at York have been really focused on public good and going into organisations that make a positive difference on society, whether that be within the commercial sector, in higher education, or public service.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a really interesting point, that it's both clarifying your own values as a person, but seeing which employers are really putting their money where their mouth is. You know, often people
Absolutely.
Have these mission statements, don't they, that sound really good.
Yeah,
but when
yeah.
it comes down to it, are they actually following through?
I mean, you'll see the true cultures play out in a yeah. period of crisis. Absolutely. And you know, in the 2008 recession, there were certain organisations that retracted graduate opportunities, and the market saw that as a sign of weakness.
Yeah.
And actually, values of those companies went down, and the student perception of those companies went down. So when they then created opportunities again in the future, they were really challenging times for them to recruit graduates. So, you know, I think being really clear and on how organisations have adapted and will respond in the future, because ultimately, what you don't want to do is get your dream job or a dream opportunity on the career ladder, and then in 6 to 12 months' time, without doing the proper due diligence, that organisation is no longer there or your job is at risk. So I think, you know, research is critically important this period of time as well.
Yeah. And obviously, we've got a lot of updates and information on our website. So on that, what are your sort of top recommendations for people to check out?
Well, I've already mentioned the York Strengths Online programme, definitely for students to complete that. We've invested in some really cool resources over the last 12 to 18 months. You were part of the team working on our automated CV tool, which is a fantastic opportunity for students to have their CV reviewed and get feedback instantly. And I know they're looking at ways of evolving that technology to enable job roles and job specifications to be analysed as well. So that's definitely something to be thinking about to make sure your CV and any application is at the right level. We've also got Shortlist Me, which enables you to do mock interviews, so virtual and asynchronous interview online. I think definitely something to think about. Psychometric tests, unfortunately, won't be going anywhere anytime soon. So either going back to your GCSE maths or using the amazing resources we have on our website just to practice them. You know, they're not really, really difficult, but it's the time pressure that's put on them that is really difficult. So just being able to practice those would be something that I would advise. And finally, you know, York Profiles and Mentors is something that we've recently relaunched. So this provides opportunities for students to look at profiles of alum. So students who have graduated and gone off to drive and gain successful careers. And then gives you the opportunity as a student to build a mentor-mentee relationship with those individuals. So I think that would be really important, you know, building networks will be a fantastic opportunity coming out of this. And clearly, they've already found the best resource, the podcast, Kate, if they're listening to this. So, clearly want to name check that as well.
Thank you. Thanks for that. We're going to put links to all of the resources that Tom's mentioned there, along with some other ones that I think are probably worth checking out. So I'll add those links to the episode description, along with the full transcript of today's show. But that just leaves me to say thanks so much, Tom, for joining us today and for your advice and insights. We're obviously open over the summer. We're always open over the vacations, so students can still access our services. As I said, the online stuff, it's not going anywhere. A lot of it is on open access, so other, you know, members of the public can access it. There is some stuff that's locked down just for the York students, but a lot of the useful information on there we really do share. So there's lots of support if people want to make use of that. But yeah, thanks again for joining us, Tom.
Thank you, Kate.
Thanks for joining us this week on What Do You Actually Do? This episode was hosted by myself, Kate Morris, and edited and produced by the Careers and Placements team. If you love this podcast, spread the word and subscribe. Are you eager to get more tips? Follow University of York Careers and Placements on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. All useful links are in this episode description. This has been produced at the University of York Careers and Placements. For more information, visit york.ac.uk/careers.